Okay, right. First of all, Shalom Aleichem, thank everyone for coming and for the organization and hosting. Really appreciate it. Chodesh Kislev, we'll speak a little bit of Chanukah Torah. I'm going to use my new sefer, Moedei Yisrael, if anyone's interested in getting it after, if it's a good enough taste, maybe you'll want to get it afterwards. But that will be the basis of the shiur. We have a lot of Chanukah Torah actually in here, and we'll actually use it perhaps as a segue into a little bit about what we're doing on the larger picture of what we're involved in. That will be after. Okay, so we'll start off the. There's an interesting Rokeach, okay, from the early Ashkenazi Mekubalim. Yeah, he was a Rishon, predated the Arizal by quite a few years. So in Hilchas Chanukah, he says that we light 36 candles, that's without the Shamash, right, just the primary candles, 36 candles, that represent, or they're keneged, the 36 hours that the Or HaGanuz, concealed light, was active at the beginning of the world. So we have these 36 lights of Chanukah connected the 36 hours of the Or HaGanuz that was at the beginning of creation. And he says that was the Chanukas HaOlam. That was the beginning. Chanukah is from Lashon of dedication or beginning. So that was the beginning of the world. So on Chanukah, he says, we light 36 nevers because at the dedication of the world, that's what Hashem gave us in the sky. He gave us the sun. It was more than just the sun. It was the Or HaGanuz. The sun was much greater than it is today. And that was the light that Adam Rishon was privy to at the beginning of creation. And the Cheshbon is, he brings it from the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, that on Friday, Adam Rishon had 12 hours, okay, from when he was created till Shabbos, and then you have 12 hours of Shabbos night, 12 hours of Shabbos day, and then when Shabbos left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Or HaGanuz because of Adam Rishon's sin, because of his chet, so then the world became dark. Now, Rav Pinchas Mikoretz adds to this in the Imre Pinchas. You guys know who that is, right? Yeah. I don't know. Everybody here is like a little Hasidus kind of background, somewhat. Okay, fine. He actually was Makabel from the Baal Shem Tov himself, if I'm not mistaken, in his younger years. Yeah. But a little bit. So, the Rav Pinchas Mikor says that the 36 Mesechtas Hashas of Gemara, of Bavli, they are keneged, the 36 hours that first light illuminated the world. And you have to say that he's referring specifically, and this is going to be very relevant to what we're going to discuss, that's specifically Talmud Bavli, because in Talmud Yerushalmi there's 40 Masechtas. So it has to be Talmud Bavli, and it's not so simple to get to the calculation. If you count the Masechtas in Shas, you'll get to more than 36. So I make a calculation with how it's specifically 36 and a footnote in the sefer. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty details. In any case, so the Imre Pincha says, so he connects it to these 36 Masechtas, which is connected there as Chanukah. Fine. And he explains that the Avonim, they came to, they decreed that any Jewish kala would have to first go to the what's called in Hebrew the tafsar. I don't know how you say that in English. Whatever, the emperor chleis, whatever it was over there, and to defile her, right? And their kavana, he says, was to uproot the Torah ulahachshicha or, and to darken the light, which was really on a continuation or because of the chet of Adam Rishon, who did a similar Aveira with the Nachash. It says the Nachash was Baal Chava, So this is kind of like a reenactment of that story. And the Chashmonaim refused to give in to this kind of a decree and refused to let Klal Yisrael become darkened further. And then they were zeicha to have the Nes with the light that remained, the oil that remained, right? The special miracle of light. So the Tikkun Zohar says that the Or HaGonus, right? Where is that concealed light today? Where is the Or HaGonus? It says that it's in the Seydus HaTorah. The Tikkun Zohar says, Or Gonus Di'iu Roz Kechushban Or. The word for secret is Roz, Rozei Torah, the secrets of the Torah. Roz is the gematria of Or. Because the Or HaGonus is in the Roz of the Torah, is in the secrets of the Torah. Or Zerul HaTzadik, that's what he says, Dohu Or HaGonus HaTzadik, this is the light that's concealed for the Tzadik. The Bnei Yisoschar takes on the same idea. I'll read a little bit from the Bnei Yisoschar. He says, in Ma'amorei Chodesh Iyar, Ma'amor Gimel Ois Beis, he says, Vato ato Baruch Hashem Kori Na'im Taskivu Tavin. He turns very, very nicely to the reader and says, you'll think about it and understand. Asher B'yoyim Zeh Hascholas Hizgalus HaToiv Shel HaTorah. He's referring over there by Lag Ba'omer. That's 17 days after Lag Ba'omer until the end of Tol Shavuos. So that's 17, which is the gematria of Toiv. And he says that this day, Lag Ba'omer, is the beginning of the revelation of the Toiv of the Torah, the Toiv of the Torah, right? Those 17 days. Shenignas Bohor Ki Toiv, in which the light was concealed, that light which about it says Ki Toiv, right? In Bereshis. Huha Osha Adam Bitbo Mi Seifa Oilam At Seifa. That's the light that Adam was able to look from one side of the world to the other side of the world. In this light, one can see the mysteries, right, the secrets of the Creator of the world, Yetzer Bereishis. Hinei Reb Shimon ben Yochai karu Batzina Kadisha. Reb Shimon ben Yochai, they called him the holy torch, right, the holy light. Ki al yodei nisgalu bisgalu seydus haTorah, because through him the secrets of the Torah became revealed. Hu seyd ha'or ki toiv hagonis b'Torah. That is the secret of the light that is good, that is concealed in the Torah. Al kein nikra sifra hakodesh zohar. That's why the sefer hakodesh is called zohar, which means shining light. Or hamavik misofa oilam at sofa, the light that shines from one end of the world to the other. Or hatoiv hagonis b'Torah v'chulei, the good light that's concealed in the Torah. Okay, he commanded Rabbi was the scribe of the Zohar, commanded him to write all the hidden secrets, and that was for the purpose of leaving over bracha from that, the illumination of the Or HaGonus. He describes it, that's Shomer Lanu Levaneinu, it's guarded, it's there for us and our children, Ad Yizgalu B'mheira Or Mashiach Tzidkenu, that's what's going to carry us over till the Or of Mashiach, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Kama She'omru Chazal, Vayoymer Lekim Yehi Or, Ze Oyre Shel Melech Mashiach, this is the light of the Melech Mashiach, Bizchus Hitaskut Be'or Ki Toiv, Asher Hishir Batzina Kadisha, in the merit of the dealing and studying in the of the Or Ki Tov, that the Butzina Kaddish and Rishur Ba'yichai left for us, Lebracha L'chaim L'or Kol Yisrael, the Or of Mashiach, we're going to get in that Schus, which is known as the Zohar says that it's going to be in the Schus of the Zohar that Klal Yisrael is going to go out from the Golos. You know, I feel more comfortable saying this here, but you know, it's also a Gra, I mean, just parenthetically, the Gra says it's going to be in the Schus of Limud Kabbalah that we're going to go out from the Golos. Now I feel more comfortable saying here, especially Chevra that's connected to Rav Weinberger and to others. And I'm saying things that are not so right, but I'm telling you, most places I go, like I feel like the, you know, like I'm talking to the wall. Like, well, what? Yeah, you know, like I don't know. Kabbalah is just it's not such a good word for fundraising, but Lemaisa, No, I understand it. You know, it's odd. You know, but it shouldn't be odd. The joke is that the Gra says that the whole Teres Arizal is what's called, and this is all parenthetically, is bringing the tikkun, is the soda tikkun. And the soda of the tikkun is, which is the whole Teres Arizal, and the whole Teres Agron, the whole Teres Baal Shem, it's all, is sod hamitkala, the secret of the scale. Meaning that if you want to know what the essence of Kabbalah is, it's balance. The last thing somebody would think has to do with Kabbalah, right? Balance. Just be healthily balanced. Body and soul, balance between, within Klal Yisrael, balance of the right diet in Torah, the right diet, you know, it's like normalcy. That's the secret of the Zohar. Okay, anyway, back to Hanukkah. So it comes out that we see that on Hanukkah, we're getting through these 36 lights, we're getting a little bit of a gilui, right, of this Or Hagonos, which is also hidden inside of the 36 Masechtos Hashas and in the Seudas HaTorah. Now, this is already very interesting, right? Because usually the people that are very into Talmud Bavli, they'll, you know, like, not so into Zohar. They'll say it, you know, to say the least. And the people that are like into the Seudas HaTorah and into whatever, unfortunately, very often are just not so turned on by Gemara. But it's the same Or Hagonos that's in both of them. And we'll speak some more about that afterwards. In any case, the Medrash tells us, and there's a famous Medrash, Choshech ze Golos Yavam, right? The beginning of Bereishis, it talks about Choshech al Pnei Sahayim. What is the darkness? That's a reference to the Golos of Yavam, Sheikh Shicha Einayim Shel Yisrael, it darkened the eyes of the Jewish people, B'gezeres, and with their decrees, Shaisai Meres Laim Kisva Akeren Ashor Shein Laim Chelik, right on the horn of the ox, that you don't have any portion in the God of Israel. So then you have the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, where Kadosh Baruch Hu makes this nace of the one small jug last for 8 days, and that becomes the sign of the victory against the Choshech, this light, that this basically really supernatural light that goes, right, goes on for 8 days, becomes the symbol of victory against the Choshech of Malchus Yavon, and it's in this, in the merit of the Sirus Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. And now we all know that 8, anybody that's Maraldic or whatever, 8 is Me'al HaTeva. You have the 7 days of creation, and the 8th Bechina is Me'al HaTeva. So the Indian is that, of course, Yavan tells us and tries to get us to be koifer b'Hashem, right? And tells us to write that on the ox. I explained that the ox was like the computer of the day. That was the secret of Parnasa in those days, right? You needed an ox to make a Parnasa. And that's also Mavur in the Gemara. But so, you know, they took this thing of Parnasa and they're just, you just say that you're koifer b'Hashem. And of course, the Chashmonaim, right? They're zeicha to this Nes of Chanukah. Klal Yisrael zeicha to Nes of Chanukah with these 8, which combats Yavan, who tries to say there's no Elikei Yisrael, there's no supernatural koyach, and that's the Nes Chanukah is exactly the Or of Hashem against the Choshech of Yavan. Now, I want to just zero in on that lashon, Hechshicha Einehem Shel Yisrael. You darken the eyes of the Jewish people. Right? The simple mashmos of that lashon is that Yavan's inyan is choshech, their inyan is darkness, and they are waging war against the koich re'iyah, the koich of vision that the Jewish people have. Right? In order to see, you need light. So if there's darkness, your eyes can't see. Now, that's why it says they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people. But the depth of the inn is that al pi Kabbalah, there's two major koiches, okay? There's the chush re'iyah, and there's the chush hashmiyah, and there's a very fundamental difference between the two. Anybody that's learned Talmud Bavli knows toshma appears all over the place, come in here. And if you've learned Zohar, Tochazi, come see. So there's a fundamental, and that's not just time, there's a fundamental difference between them. The fundamental difference is that the Re'iyah, the vision of a person, is mityacheset, is relates to the, you know, I have to like remember my English. It's very problem, a big problem. When an American goes to Israel, you end up losing your English and you never get the Hebrew the way the Israelis. So you're kind of left like languageless. But anyway, so you have the chushri'iyah that is related to the koich of chachma. You know? And the koich of shmiya is related to what's called bina. Chachma and bina. Just a little bit to explain what Chachma Bina is and explain how that has to do with the Re'iyah and Shmiya. Chachma is the ability to see the whole. Chachma has to do with seeing faces. What's called right brain function, okay, right brain thinking, right brain function, that's rooted, that is Chachma. Okay, you know what, I actually have a nice... my props bag. Let's see. Yeah, we'll go down the list a little bit. The chachma is nonverbal awareness of things, but minimal connection with words. Bina is verbal, using words to name, describe, define. Chachma is synthetic, putting things together to form wholes. Bina is analytic, figuring things out step by step and part by part. Chachma is concrete, relating to things as they are at the present moment. Bina is symbolic, using a symbol to stand for something. For example, the plus sign for addition, etc. Chachma is analogic, seeing likeness between things, understanding metaphoric relationships, whereas bina is abstract, taking out a small bit of information and using it to represent the whole thing. Chachma is non-temporal, without a sense of time. Bina is temporal, keeping track of time, sequencing, etc. Chachma is not irrational, non-rational, okay? Non-rational, not requiring a basis of reason or facts, a willingness to suspend judgment, whereas Bina is rational, drawing conclusions based on reason and facts. I'm not going to go into every single one, but Chachma is intuitive, making leaps of insight, often based on incomplete patterns, hunches, feelings, or visual images. And Bina is logical, drawing conclusions based on logic, one thing following another in logical order. For example, a mathematical theorem or a well-stated argument. Chachma, this is keywords, is holistic, seeing whole things all at once, perceiving the overall patterns and structure, often leading to divergent conclusions, whereas Bina is linear, thinking in terms of linear, if linked ideas, one thought directly following another, often leading to a convergent conclusion. So there you got it. It's right brain versus left brain, Chachma versus Bina. So that has to do with Re'iyah and Shmiya. When you hear one word at a time, and it's temporal. You have to build your understanding, right? You have to put it together. When you see a picture is worth 1,000 words. In one second, you have the whole thing. You know, picture a blind person. You take him into a Beis Medrash and you start to describe him what this looks like. You describe bookshelves here and shtenders here and tables. It'll be very difficult for him to put the picture together. It'll take time. But if he had vision, boom, it's there, no confusions, it doesn't get mixed up where everything is, it's right there in front of you. So that's the koach of Chachma as opposed to Re'iyah. When Yavan comes on the scene of history, right, what's Yavan's big thing? Philosophy, right? And specifically, what's their philosophy? You know, if you see Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato Dafka is more Chachmadik, but he's also Binadik, but of that group, he was actually more Chachmadik, but I'm not going to get into it now. But Lamaisa, they're very into the logical and also based on empirical evidence, and that is Hechshicha Inayim Shal Yisrael. When everything has to be the hard facts, the logical sequence, there's a very big mile to it. We'll get to that soon. But there's also a very big reader in that. You know, often the process of logic takes you away from the essence of something. You know, so when you, can you imagine, when you connect to a person, you connect to the person's inside. At least we hope you connect to the person. Before there were smartphones, when people connected, the connection is something which is not based on words. If you're going to build your connection purely based on logic, this is not going to be a good relationship. Okay? So, this is the what Yavan did. They developed the scientific method, which has done great stuff, right? Don't get me wrong, it's done great stuff. But it's a Yerida as far as Klal Yisrael is going. It's a Choshech as far as Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is on the level of Chachma in their essence. It's a level of Chachma is a level, is an inyan of Yichud. It's an inyan of bonding to something. It's an inyan of essence. Bina, the Zohar says, is dinin misarid mina, right? Which means fragmentation. Dinim is fragmentation, separation. It stems from bina. So that's a very big difference. If we're misyached with Hashem, the ikr yichud is through chachma, is a oneness. Okay. Now, they therefore, Yavan was mezalzel. They you know, they look down on Chachmas Yisrael. They look down on it. And but we had a special thing to go against Yavan, right? That was our Torah Shebal Peh, our Talmud Bavli, which is based on Bina, but still stemming from Sinai. That still has in it, that's the Or Hagonuz, is permeating that Torah Shebal Peh, those 36 Mitzvotos of Bavli. Okay, we have Yerushalmi also, obviously. But this really, you know, can really upset Yavan. It's like, what, you're both logical, right? You have this logic, but you're saying that it's coming from Har Sinai. It's part of the Koil. Like, you're making this into a spiritual thing. For Yavan, philosophy is just a physical thing. It's just like part of the beauty of the body. They were very big into the beauty of the body, and the intellect is just all another, is just a higher part of that beauty. And we're relating it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's our job, is bringing in the Yehi Or Keneged the Choshech al Pnei Sahayim. Now this Yerida of that's caused by Malchus Yavan, it's not Stam. We know that anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows to happen, right, is part of the grand master plan. And the master plan is as follows. There's actually a very big mila that we gain through this Yerida, which is going to be a Yerida L'Tzarich Aliyah. Okay? Descent for the purpose of becoming elevated to even a higher level. And here I'm going to go to another Kabbalah concept that's in the Arizal. Please tell me if you've heard of it at all. Akudim, Nikudim, Uvrudim. Heard of the words we just had in Parshas Vayetze, right? So, no, told us. Akudim, Nikudim, Uvrudim. Huh? It was Vayetze, right? I'm you know, flying and gets you all mixed up here. So, the stripes, right, on the sheep of Yaakov. So there's actually, those are big, major secrets of the Torah that the Rizal discusses. And what he discusses is that in the creation of the worlds, there is a process that's called Akudim, Nikudim, Uvrudim. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell, which I hope will be enough, that you'll get something out of it. You've heard of the concept of spheres, right? 10 spheres, that probably, it's already become common knowledge. Every five-year-old knows, come on, spheres, at least at my house, I don't know. But, so you have 10 spheres, right, which are 10, it's very hard to define, 10, for a very bad purpose of description, we'll call 10 hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like Ramchal style way of explanation, but it's really more than just Tama Hanhaga. There's actually these spiritual constructs, okay, that make up what we call God, okay. I know I'm speaking very weird now, but this is it's important to at least know those words. At first stage, the 10 spheres come out. Now, spheres are combined. We as people, have a neshama and a guf, right? A neshama and a guf. So, in all worlds, there's a bechina of neshama and guf, except that, obviously, if we're dealing with the world of angels, they don't have bodies like we have, right? It's something on a different, in a different dimension, but relative to their world, they have a body. Okay, the same thing in the world above that. That's called the Olam HaYetzira. In the Olam HaBria, the world of what's called the world of creation, that's the world of the Kisei HaKavod. So over there you have also neshamas and a guf relative to that world, not to be confused with the guf down here. And then you have on top of that the Olam HaAtzilus, which is called God's world. That's Kiviyachol, the world of God himself. And he, and there too, Kiviyachol, there's a body and guf, okay? You have to realize when we say God, this is just an important thing to know. It's different when you say Elohim or Lakus, it's different than Ein Sof. Those are two different things. The Ein Sof is like something deeper. God is already the expression of the Ein Sof to us. So if there's an expression, expression involves some sort, some aspect of Kli. Because that's what Kli does, Kli expresses. Okay? So the first step of Akudim was that all 10 spheres came out in a very unified way in one vessel. But that's not so good. I mean, it's a very high level, but there's a little bit of a lack to that because the 10 spheres can't all become expressed. If you have one Kli, you're not getting a clear expression of each of those Kaiches, right? You're just getting like a combined effort kind of expression. So the next step down was what's called the Olam HaNikudim, where he divided up and got you and got 10 vessels to 10 lights. Okay? But there was a big setback, and that's where what the famous concept of Shaviras HaKelim takes place. Okay, where the vessels break because the light is too great. And one of the main reasons that the Arizal discusses why those vessels break is because they are separate. They're just separate points, kibayachol, separate spheres. There's no unity between them. And thus, when the light comes down, they can't, it would take a joint effort to withhold the light that's coming down. Even their own personal aura they couldn't handle. So that's the step of Nekudim. And then comes the Tikkun, which it starts with Bereishis Bara Elokim, Asa Shamayim. That's the where Hashem creates the world, the rectified world. But he leaves it up for us to finish off the process. The Zohar says, Asher bara elekim lases. He created the world for us to complete. Lases means to complete. He created the world for us to complete, which is like the concept behind the Bris Milah, the way the Maharal explains, created our body in a way that we now have to finish it off through Bris Milah. There's other examples in the Zohar to this idea. So that, what is the Tikkun? What the tikkun does is it takes the maila of akudim and the maila of nikudim and puts them together. So we'll call akudim, right? Akudim is similar, is really the same type of concept of what we discussed as chachma, where you have this unity, you have all 10 in one kli, that's a unified state. Then you have nikudim, which is this fragmentation of spheres, so that's the idea of bina. Das comes and re-puts together, right? Rejoins together these 10, but now they're not. It's not like the first step of Chachma. Now you have 10 spheres, where you have 10 lights, 10 auras in 10 vessels that are all in a partnership. They're intertwined. I'm not going to get into the details of how that takes place, but that's the idea of Das. Das is combining the Chachma and the Bina, and it's a lower level in a certain sense than the Chachma Bina, but Dafka, that lower level, is a higher level for us because it becomes the most expressed, the biggest Gilui of Hashem's Kaiches, because we now can see the tremendous, these 10 tremendous Kaiches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't see them as separate, which could Chas Shalom lead to Avodah Zarah ideas, right? But we see them in the most unified way possible. And that's really what we're still aiming at is going to happen, Mezushim, Yivais HaMashiach, that's the idea of Kabbalah. That's what Kabbalah is aiming to, Torah Arizal specifically. So that's also what happens now in if we look at history, we survey history. The world was on a more spiritual level before Yavon came onto the scene. You know, you have all the, you read about this, even historically speaking, they were very spiritual. And to us, that looks almost like, you know, they were backwards. But they weren't backwards, no. They actually were just spiritual. You have in the, a little bit still, we have remains of that in the Far East. I'll just tell you an interesting thing. You could look at me like a quack, but, you know, there's a book called The Visionary Window, written by Professor Amit Goswami. Okay, he's a physicist that was reared in the Hindu religion, if I'm not mistaken. So he has a very interesting thing. It's a fascinating book. There's a lot of physics books that like combine, you know, spiritual stuff nowadays since like the 70s, basically. So he writes there that it is very common in India and in those areas of the world for little kids to have reincarnation experiences. Okay? And these are documented cases. For example, a kid that says he used to live in England in a past life and he lived on this and this block and died in this and this way, etc. He has absolutely no way of being privy to that information. Okay? These are documented cases. And he says it's so common, relatively common in India. So he says, it's a great question. Why in the West do we not have these things? It's like, you know. Now, it's just an interesting thing, right? Even we see within the Jewish world, the Sephardim, I don't know, in Israel at least, I don't know about here in America, but in Israel it's very, very clear. Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Sephardim have a lot of very interesting spiritual kinds of stories and like things that take place. And you know, like as Ashkenazi, you're like, okay, I don't know about that. Is that like, they just must be fantasy, like, you know, wishful thinking. I don't know, but it's interesting, and it's not Stam. The Ben Ish Chai says that in Bavel, that's where, you know, the part of the Sephardi world comes from, a good part of Eretz Yisrael comes from there. He says that there were certain koiches that were much more prevalent than in other parts of the world, dafka because it's Bavel. So they had these spiritual experiences that we don't have, and we look at like almost as crazy, like, or I don't know, almost crazy, right? And so Amit Goswami, getting back to the professor, says that why is it that they don't have this in the Western world? He's very simple. A little kid comes to you, right? 2-3 year old, right? Daddy, you know, in my last life, he starts saying something weird, and you give him this look that make it clear, listen, boy, if you want to survive in this world, you better shut your mouth and get rid of these thoughts because you're nuts. So basically, you are taught at a very young age to repress these types of thoughts and then you lose access to them. This is what he writes. This is an interesting idea. Take it or leave it. But the fact is that that's what's going on. So over there, at least, you know, there's real spiritual stuff going on there. And they have real spiritual koichas. Even unfortunately, it's in Klipa, it's in Avodah Zarah. You know, we have it too. But we've also kind of lost access to things very much. Obviously, we have big tzaddikim that you see very amazing things sometimes. I mean, that we're seeing less and less now today also, unfortunately. But it's also going to be Yirid L'Tzarech Aliyah, Bez Hashem. But the thing is that once upon a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed man, let's see what gauge of the time, allowed man to connect to him on this very, very spiritual level. We had Ruach HaKodesh, we had Nevuah, right? And as time goes on, we lose that because the world goes through this like descent. But Hashem doesn't want his connection with us. So he gives us a replacement. And that replacement is science. Because whereas science takes many people away, unfortunately, right? I mean, the whole scientific movement was the movement of the church. The movement away from the church, right? But in fact, that's not supposed to be the case. we're supposed to see what's going on. We're like, Ma Rabu Masech Hashem, Ma Godlu Masech Hashem. But there's such chachma in the world. Every time I fly, and I've flown a bunch of times, I never lose a hispilus from it. Like, we are so high up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this, it's like, it's unbelievable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put such chachma into the world and into the human mind to get these things. How in the world could a person see these things and not come closer to Hashem? It's like, it's wild that a person would not automatically become nispoil and connect Hashem. And everything, all of science is supposed to be and is really a medium for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah Shebaal Peh that we have, the Talmud Bavli, that rigorous back and forth is all a part of that. Through that process, you know, when you work hard at something, you get connected to the thing. If you don't work hard at something, you don't get connected. A guy that put keches into his business, he's proud of his business, he's connected to his business. What you put work into, your kids, what you put work into, you're much more connected to. So all that, the difficulty, so to say, that you read into this choshech, right, really has this oraganus inside of it, which is, in fact, giving us an alternative way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times when we're not zeicha to the explicit gilui of Hashem's or. This same process is just, derech agav, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is the Havaya of Hashem, is the essence, is the being of Hashem. Elokeinu, we know there's Elokim, gods, because it shows the many koiches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adon Kol HaKoiches, right? So it's the Hashem, Elokeinu, that's Chachma, Bina. Hashem, the second Hashem is the Das. It's the putting together of the Hashem Elokeinu now in the form of Hashem Echad. That is the way the world works, that is the way the history works. That's the way the future is working, and that's really what goes on through this whole thing of Yavon. Hechshicha Einem Shel Yisrael. They brought us down in order for us to be megala, a much much bigger gilui. That it shouldn't just be this. It's not just going to be that connection to Hashem. We're just through Ruach HaKodesh. No. It's that every single part of nature takes on a tremendous vitality and a tremendous, it's pashadak, gavaldik achiyus, where you're like, you can appreciate things. I mean, can you imagine if we didn't have cars, we didn't have internet, we didn't have computers, we didn't have all this stuff? And yeah, connect to Hashem, fine. But the detail of the kayachas of Hashem now, look at the details. It's magnificent. So ultimately, we'll talk about the Rambam. The Rambam learns Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's very fascinating. The Rambam learns Ma'aseh Bereishis is Chachmas HaTeva, science. Right? I always get a kick out of it. You know, people bring the Rambam that you're not allowed to learn Kabbalah until you're a Bucky even Shasa Paiskim, which is not his lashon, not the lashon of the Rambam. It's interesting to know that the idea that you can't learn until you're Kresay Malei Shaso Paiskim, right? The is not a Gemara. People think it's a Gemara. The first place that it appears is in the Rambam, where he says Yira Li. It seems to me. So notice it's his chiddush. Whenever he says that kind of a lashon, right? It's his chiddush based on the whole Torah. Fine. We don't. The Rambam's chiddush for us is major. And but what's he talking about by Maaseh when he's talking about Maaseh Bereishis, Maaseh Merkava, even it's philosophy and science. So it's being applied in a very interesting way. Seder, the Paiskim, we should go by it. It's not Stam. Now what's changing, we'll get to that. We'll get to that also. But Lamaisa, this process where you have this boom of science, right, is really referred to in the Zohar, in Parshas Vayera. I'll just read to you the Lashon of the Zohar. If you're familiar, probably some people are familiar with it, maybe others are not. Uveshit ma'ash nin lishtita, in the 600th year to the sixth millennium, yitpatchun tare de chochmesola ela, umabue de chochmesola tata. The gateways of chachma are going to open up above, and the wellsprings of chachma are going to open up below. V'yitaken alma la'aloh b'shvi'ah. And the world is going to become rectified to enter into the seventh millennium. Kivarnash demitaken b'yom shtita. Like a person who prepares in this during on the sixth day, mechir of shemsha la'aloh b'shabbos. On erev Shabbos, you prepare in order to go into Shabbos. V'simonech, and the simon to this is b'shnas sheish me'as shana l'chayi Noach, the 600th year of life of Noach. All the wellsprings of the depths are going to open up, and the windows of the heavens are going to open. What are the wellsprings of Chachma below and the wellsprings of Chachma up above? Science is the below, and Seydah Satara is the wellsprings of Seydah Satara open up, which the Leshem describes in tremendous length. He says that all parts of the Torah, this is such a wild Leshem, he says that all parts of the Torah from Har Sinai on, there's a decline. But when it comes to the Seydah Satara, it's going to work the opposite. As time goes on, and we get closer and closer to Mashiach, there's going to be a opening up. So he says that things that we couldn't understand yesterday, we're going to be able to understand today. Fascinating. Leshem writes it with his own experience. I mean, he spoke in places that the Arizal says it's usher to speak, and he pulled it all out of the Arizal himself. It's fascinating. Anyway, I'm not saying we're anywhere like in that, you know, but we have the ability to understand things through science specifically. We have much more ability to grasp concepts that till now didn't have an expression. The only way you were able to understand them is through Ruach HaKodesh. And today, it's interesting, Rav Kook writes that in the future, he was amazing. He chapped in his day. That was when Niels Bohr and Einstein, they started with the new physics, right? The new physics is the right brain of the academic world. That is the only real place of right brain thinking, okay? And it's very, in everything they did, Niels Bohr and Einstein and all that chevra, and the new physics was completely intuitive because everybody was hitting brick walls, you know? You had the is light a particle or a wave? And they had 100% proof that light is a wave and 100% proof that the light is a particle. Now what do you do? Smash your head against the wall. That's what everyone was doing. They're smashing their head against the wall for years and years and years until Einstein comes up with this idea, you know, relative to this, it's a light, it's a wave, and relative to this, it's a particle. Depends on your frame of reference. So, like, wow, you know, boom, it's open. The world changes. So we have that ability to chop things in this realm that we didn't have before, and that's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's game plan that's preparing this future aura that's coming in. So that's basically Hanukkah. If we look at that process, we'll just summarize what the basic nekud over here is, that we take, we have this milchama against Yavon. They bring philosophy into the world, etc., and they darken the eyes of the Jewish people, meaning they take away our koach ra'iyah. We are left with basically only shmia, only this linear ability to grasp things. But dafka, through that, we get to a bigger maila where ba'achres hayamim will be able to now segue into this das kind of madrega where we can combine chachma and bina in that most beautiful way, and that's this koyach of re'iyah comes through on Chanukah. It's an interesting thing. There's a very strange thing brought down in the name of the Chassam Sefer that the Seydah Satara were given on Chanukah. I say strange because in the Zohar it says mafurish that the Seydah Satara were given on Shavuos, but according to what we're saying, there's a certain basis. There is certainly a connection between Seydah Satara and Chanukah, because Chanukah is that time of Or HaGanus. So now what is it? The whole thing of Chanukah is that it penetrates down into the darkness. We light the menorah under the 10 lechatchila, under 10 tfachim, which the Shekhinah never went down below 10 tfachim, the Gemara says. So dafka in the point of the darkest moments, the darkest place, and the darkest time, when we go into Golos, Chanukah is when we're in Golos already, right? We're really going into Golos, we're basically in Golos. Okay, we have a Chiddush of the Malchus, but it was without all its glory, you know. And And that's this 8-day light, miraculous light of Me'al Ateva, comes in and shines in. And according to what we're saying, it's not just Stam, it's the Choshech provides the backdrop that is the Kli for the Oregonis to become lit up. And that's B'Mechshakim Oshivani of Talmud Bavli, according to what's Mavur and Rashi, it's not a Shtach to Bavli, it's a Shevach of Bavli. It's L'Mal Yusa. It's that even penetrates the darkness. It's an interesting thing. I'll just end with this little another interesting tidbit. Is that the Shlok just says that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi is the Yerushalmi is much more terse, and there's not the whole rigorous back and forth. It's much more straightforward. It takes time to get used to the language, but it's short. You know, kids would love it. You know, it's like so much easier. And the Bavli, of course, is very, very rigorous. It's really hard. And Parshas Noach, the Medrash Tanchuma describes Talmud Bavli as like torturous to learn. That's what it says. Those who are going in the darkness are going to see the light. The darkness is going through learning. It's just like so difficult. It says, if you're into eating and drinking, you don't stand a chance. It's the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach. Take a look at that. You know, it's like, that's pretty difficult in America. There's a lot of food and drink here. But you know, then you're like wondering why kids are not enjoying Gemara. But that's what we discussed over there. It's like it's either this or that. And Balamaisa, I lost my track. What was I saying there? With Bavli, right, so that's what they mean with Bavli, the Shlah. I was saying the Shlah says you in Eretz Yisrael, B'Marava, they learned primarily Seydus HaTorah. And all the other stuff came down to them like kind of automatic. So in other words, Yerushalmi is really coming from that Chochmah type of spot, where it's more like it comes included within the Seydus HaTorah. They get down to these maskaras, so they don't have to go through the whole rigorous thing, as opposed to in Bavli, that Rizal explains, you have to go through what's the question and answering. Oh, it's to break the klipas, to break the husks around the... You know, you got to peel the orange to get to the fruit. Peel the fruit to get to the fruit. That's what you have to go through. But in Eretz, you don't have to do that. It's a straight line. Very simple. Say this third. Boom. You're open. In any case, that's a little bit about the significance of Hanukkah. Lemaisa, the significance for I'm just saying, I don't say this in other places so much, but since you're receptive to these ideas a little bit, more than a little bit, with Rav Weinberger and whatever, but... There's a very weird Reb Chaim Vital in his Hakdama, what's printed as the Hakdama to Eitz Chaim. It's really the Hakdama to Shar Hakdamas. And he says, if you weren't Matzliach in learning Gemara for 5 years, it's really based on a Gemara, but he uses it in a specific way. If you weren't, because the Gemara says, if you learn 5 years and you weren't successful, you're never going to see Bracha. Like, it's over. Don't tell anyone, okay? So what does Reb Chaim Vital prescribe for that? Go learn Kabbalah. Hmm. It's like, so everybody asks, and they're like, what? All the Amorats, you know, all the Nichshalim, all the, you know, Nebuchs, they're going to be the ones that are going to learn Kabbalah. Something doesn't add up. You're supposed to be, no, Kresa Mole Shasa Paiskim. It's a very strange Reb Chaim Vital. And I have a very simple explanation to that. I really feel that this is mamish emes lamita pshat. The answer is that the lanius daiti is that it's simple. If you're not left brain, if that's not your natural capacity, if you're much more right brained in your personality and your thinking, you may have a very difficult time with Gemara, regular Gemara learning, and that's not your thing. So yes, you need to still learn Gemara. You have to have halal. Yeah, you need to do the basic learning. You need to have something. You can't leave it all. I mean, you're not going to know how to keep Shabbos. You know, like you're not going to know how to make brachos. Fine. So you have the basic, but you should put your ikar koiches into Kabbalah because you're probably right-brained, and That's the story. It's not a matter of who's more capable and who's less capable. There are people that are cut out for this, and there are people that are cut out for that. I think that's mamish pasha pshat in Reb Chaim Vital. So that would, you know, give hope. I know personally, there's a guy who's very into Kabbalah in Eretz Yisrael. I know from his brother-in-law that as a bachur, he was less than mediocre. He like really didn't know what to do with himself. He was just like, you know, kind of failing, falling, whatever. And at some point he discovered Kabbalah after he was married already. And he became such a massive masmid. The guy is like, just, you know, okay, he now he's involved in a lot of things, whatever it is, it's a lot of interesting things, but he like, it made him alive, and suddenly he got so into, and he found his place, he found his spot. The thing is that there's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people, I mean, this is true, by the way, it's not only to go to Kabbalah. I would say this in learning, there's different styles. You have a Chazanish style, you have, you know, you have Shmuel Rozovsky style, Panovich style. That's like the main style in Eretz Yisrael, basically. That's like almost everyone's learning like that. You have Brisk, you have different styles, and some one style might work for one person, not for the other person. And there's a big problem that we don't have that, you know, we're not set up to kind of cater individually. The Alter Sabatka, what made him great was he catered individually to each Talmud, and he found exactly what their keichas are and where, what they should be doing with themselves. So that's part of a little bit of what I feel. This chachma we'll start to speak a little bit about the what we're doing is that we need to. There's a I read an article a few years ago already. I don't know where it's holding now, but that they were developing customized dieting, meaning they were trying to find like different based on different tests, they'll be able to tell each person exactly what they should, what amount of everything they should be using as a diet. Customized dieting. They're not yet there. So I said, if they're doing that in Gashmias, then that is an indication to us we have to be doing that in Ruchnias. We have to be developing Rebbeim and leaders that are going to be able to do that, give the customized spiritual dieting to people, and that all takes the creativity of the Ma'or Chachma. That's so when you know, we have a Kohel Erev, we actually had for a number of years, we had two Kohel Erevs for but one of them fell. Bez Hashem, we hope to get be able to expand again at some point, but you know, the concept. Our concept, my concept here, you know what, I'm going to actually turn off the recorder for this. My recorder.